So it's just God speaking to us. Can I ask you guys a huge favor? All those that's sitting on the outskirts, can you just move a bit in, please? Otherwise, I need to... All the introverts, come closer. God loves you. Come on, guys. Just move a bit closer if you don't mind. Then I have to run around less. God, yeah, we've got... Yeah, bring down the walls. Amen. Thank you, Edna. Very prophetic. Bring down the walls. Come and sit closer. With the youth also gone to youth and the children out, we can do with everybody a bit closer. Let's quickly pray. Lord, thank you that man's faith will not be based on my words, but your Holy Spirit and power. Thank you, God, we've listened and we've heard your words spoken now clearly, prophetically to all of us through your Holy Spirit. Those that are meant for each and every individual, may we take that and take it home. May it not just float away. May we take it and take it home. And thank you for breakthrough and Jesus bringing breakthrough in certain areas. Lord, where we lift up something that might even be a bit of a tough theme, we lift up our hearts humbly to you today. And we say, God, speak to us. Knock down walls. If there's any walls that need to be knocked down, please knock down walls. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Who would like God to knock down some walls? Amen. Because you need to give God is amazing, He's powerful, He's sovereign, He's mighty, He's holy, as Yumyan said. But He's also gentle. And He will not override your will. So even in today's message, this is a bit of a disclaimer. Just in today's message, you can choose. Just ask the Holy Spirit, just show me, just speak to me and help me to choose what the Lord's heart is. Today's message is entitled, Bring Down the Walls. I think it's something in general, maybe for the season, but I'll get to that quickly just now. You can go to the first slide, please. Last time, just in essence, we said, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. What did Eleanor just tell us? God throws out the anchor because He's with you. He's the ever-present help in trouble. And the life, let's be honest, even as a Christian, or especially as a Christian, there's a fair amount of trouble in life. There's a fair amount of pressure in life. But Christ said what? Take heart, I have overcome. He didn't say, you'll escape pressure, I'll constantly keep you out of harm's way, there'll be no trouble in life. No, He said, I will be with you in the process. I will be with you wherever I send you. And so, we said that to each other last time. We said we need a helper. What is a helper again? Help means to do for someone what he or she cannot do for himself or herself. Why did God send Jesus? And accordingly, after that, why did He send the Holy Spirit? Was it just a nice afterthought? Good idea. It's like giving a gift after a wedding. But Etta just told us that they've been to a couple of weddings, and back in the day, traditionally, people will send a little gift after you've been to a wedding, just as an afterthought. Thanks for being there. Don't know if they still do it, but they did it back in the day. But that wasn't the idea of sending the Holy Spirit, just this, ach, dankie dat jy daar was type of thing. He gave us the Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit. Truly, you can't do life without the Holy Spirit, as you cannot do life without Christ, firstly. And so, it's just to remind ourselves, the helper is the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and stand by. And today, we're going to move on from that theme. We need God's help. Can I get an amen? Because I need God's help. Not only on Sundays, every single day of the year. And especially what God has called us as a family to, what He's called you as a family to, and you as an individual to. You need the help of the Lord. And so today we're going to ask God, God, help us to love. Who needs help in loving? Oh man, I need lots of love. Lots of love and help in loving. You'll remember a couple of weeks back, I said, what is the predominant, what's the primary need or focus of people? We want to be, you can go to the next slide, thanks. We want to be safe and secure, and we want to survive. What's the primal instinct of all humans, or mostly humans, unless they're very hurt? But the primal instinct of all humans is, I just want to survive. And I want to be secure, and I want to be safe. Who of you do not feel like that? Okay, great. So we're in a good space. We're just laying the foundation. So we've got this survival instinct. We want to survive. We want to be safe,
secure and provided for. And yet, when we speak in the context of Christianity, is the way or the means by which you get to safety, security, providence. The world will tell you it's what? Hard work and money. Or manipulating, stealing, and doing all other kinds of stuff. But yet, the Christian walk is different. God says, no, I've got a whole other different set of rules. I'm from another kingdom, and accordingly, if you believe in me, you're from another kingdom, and this is the rules. This is how this kingdom of God works. And so with that in mind, we're going to jump quickly. Who's going to jump with me? Just quickly jump with me. Who's from up in Gauteng? Originally from Gauteng. Oh, a lot of you. Welcome. Slakom yelamalite. We don't have time to make province bulls jokes, so let's put that aside. But when last have you been there? Nieuwe paspoort, yes. Just visiting, so you're from there. And then if you're down from the Cape, it's similarly. But who's noticed that up in Gauteng, maybe 30 years back, you had houses, you had a neighborhood where there was no boundaries or fences around the home. You could just freely walk in and out. I would go visit Gert and have a braai and just pop out and go into my backyard back home. But about how many years back, walls started to go up in Gauteng. Am I right? Please bear with me. Walls went up. And just after walls, electric fences. And estates. And secured living. Never mind in what economic category you would find yourself, fences and electric fences would go up. Long story short, who grew up down here in the Cape? Okay. Have you noticed exactly the same happened here? Just maybe 15 or 10 years later. Everywhere, the ministers told me they're busy waiting for their home to be built, and I'm sure there's going to be a boundary wall. He's already thinking security. He's thinking maybe electric fencing, alarm, whatever the case may be. And so if I go back to where I grew up in the northern suburbs, you drive down that neighborhood where I played and where I played and stayed out late. You get there now, big walls, electric fencing, electric gates, and estates. Am I right? And so walls are going up in our lives. Walls are going up around us. But I want to speak about the walls of our heart this morning. Because that's a fruit. The literal walls that we see go up, I believe, is a fruit of the heart. I'm not speaking, I've got walls, got an electric fence at the back, we've got an alarm, please hear my heart. But I'm just saying, as a people, as followers of Christ, let's check today, let's check the walls of our hearts. How's the walls in your heart? Why do we have literal and physical walls? It's for protection, security, unfortunately. Why do people put up walls emotionally and spiritually? We think mostly it's for protection. And so my heart, and I believe what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us as a church, is, hey guys, let's just check out. Is there any walls that has gone up lately? This time of year, we're now in October. Nobody's tired now because we had a good time in the Lord's presence, and hopefully still am at the moment enjoying the Lord's presence. But if you're working hard, if you're toiling hard like most of you guys do, if not all, you get a bit tired this time of year. And so what is our primary focus many times? To survive and be secure. Boundaries. Boundaries is good, but they might sometimes even be ungodly and not even biblical. But that's a sermon for another day. And so my heart is just, hey guys, let's check out that we don't wall up our hearts in this season. Let me not put electric fencing up because hell, I can't help Bronwyn with that problem now. Let me just check my heart. Am I walling myself up in my community? In my church community, or even in my family. Some of us might even do that sometimes if it's going tough. In survival, we just put up walls. Who's ever put up walls in their heart? Okay, cool. Who would like God to break them down in the season? Do you give Him permission? I won't be doing it, because guess what? I'm preaching to myself today. I'm not preaching out of a place, I've managed to do this, sister and brother. And so, henceforth, here's the answer. No, I'm saying, heaven, we all need help. Let's not put up fences. Let's not put up walls. And let's not spit on Bronwyn just for that. Luckily, she had a wall up, so we're going to work on that. Praise God. Just a bit of humor to check if everybody's away. And so the heart is just today, let's not take this from Retief firstly and foremostly. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, where have I been putting up walls? Because of primal function, because this is the way I'm wired, but it's not the way that the Spirit wants to lead me. It's not the way of Christ. Where have I walled up, secured myself in a way where I then prohibit love from flowing freely from me and in my life? And the Holy Spirit alone can answer that question in your heart. Because it's not the same for me as it is for Ellen. My challenge and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, by God, we will not walk out of here with any condemnation. We will walk out of here, each and everybody, with a godly conviction, saying, Lord, please change. Now, why did I say God is a helper? Because we need help. I'm not saying, hey, Bronwyn, you need to do it on your own. You need to fix yourself. Edna, you need to be strong. Take down that wall and love more. Because me, in ordering her in the flesh, will not reap the benefit of true love of the Spirit. Remember, love is a fruit of the Spirit. So in walking in the Spirit, we can be in love. But we're just going to say, the part that we can play is, we can't fabricate love. But the part that we can play is, we can say, Lord, I see your Holy Spirit is convicting me of a wall. I need to love Tish more. Or I need to bless her with a WhatsApp or a prophetic word. I should maybe get off the couch and not watch too much rugby. That is the way. Just taking on the wall and saying, Lord, help me. I think you guys get the message. So we're going to quickly open up as a church. Show up our table view. Let's open up. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, all of us. I'm not going to do an altar call now. Do you believe in the Word of God? Yes. Okay, we believe in the Word of God. Do we follow Jesus Christ? Shelley is thinking that one through. That's good, Shelley. That's wise. But yes, we're followers of Jesus Christ. And so we believe in the Word, we believe in Christ, and we want to follow Him. We're honest about that, eh? On a Sunday and a Wednesday evening? Amen. We've laid down our lives. And today we're going to check, am I really dead? And how dead am I? Because the more the walls, the lesser the dead. Don't know if that makes sense, but sometimes what I find in my own life, and again, I'm going to say this for the last time, I'm speaking out of a conviction in my own life. Not of saying, I'm doing this all right. I'm saying, Lord, help me, wherever there's walls that is not godly, knock them down because I want love to flow. I want love to flow. I want to see people through love's eyes. I'm not trying to protect myself, my family, my little nest. No, Lord. Christ loves to do the boundaries. And so today the speaking will not be by Retief, it will be by the Word of God. Are you open for the Word of God? We're just going to hop around, see what love and what the Word says about love, and then it will come and speak to us. You can go to the next slide. Why do we do that? This is why we do that. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following the same pattern of disobedience. For the Word of God, there's my Bible, there, Edna's got it. Just hold it up, please. For the Word of God is living and active. Say, living and active. So you'll be hearing, you'll be reading today, and it is living and active, and it's getting in there. You're like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. But it's getting in there, and it's maybe taking down a wall this morning. I'm not going to do it. The Word and the Spirit will be getting in there and saying, this wall is not the will of the Lord. You might sit here today and there's no conviction whatsoever. Praise God. But in Jesus' name, no lying spirit will bring any condemnation in this place. God will come and He'll do surgery if needed. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's like a scalpel, to be honest. It pierces even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word is able to judge my intention and my heart. I'm as Retief, even if I'm the pastor, I can be the bishop, I can be the rabbi, I can be whoever I'm. I'm not be called to judge Stephen, because I cannot see perfectly. I'm here to be his brother, walk with him, yes, guide and help, and there is a bit of authority position. But the bottom line is I'm here to love, but the Word goes in. Say, Stephen, we need to chat. if necessary. And so trust the word this morning, trust the spirit. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it pierces even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Then it goes on saying, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Hey, guess what? That's the New Testament. We're going to give an account one day. Did you know that? No, Wolfie shared about grace. But grace will enable us to give a good account one day of what we've done with the love we've been given. Have I kept all for myself? Myself and my wife? Or had I at least shared it with Abby? Maybe he won't like me doing this, but he saw a practical need here at church a couple of weeks back. And he had an answer. I would have taken 6 to 9 months to get to that answer. And then take another couple of months to find people to actually do it. But God has graced him with a gift. And so in love, he went out of his way. He had a bit of trouble actually with the people. He paid out of his pocket. And he came and he blessed us. He was loving you without you even knowing it. And I know he doesn't want, he wants his reward in heaven, not on earth. But it's just very practical in love. I'm saying he could have walled up and said, now I'd rather keep that couple of bucks because I want to go fishing. Or I'd like to go eat out. But practically God said, no, no, no. Let that love flow. And it was such a blessing to me. Even more than the practical help, his heart blessed me. And without you knowing, his heart is blessing you. I know of many a people, follow my eyes, that's laying down their lives. Eleanor's not seeing all the fruit of love being poured out in her life. And she might not see all the fruit of love being poured out through her life. Eleanor, a couple of years back or decades back, could have walled up her life and say, this is more secure, this is more safe, and this is more convenient. Yet God had called her, graced her, and she's laid down. She said, no walls. No walls. And it comes at a price. It's not easy. But today, I believe the Spirit is acknowledging that. And he's also saying, maybe in one or two areas, hey guys, let's ask the Lord to kick down the walls because we want to what? Follow after Christ. You get a Christian culture, a modern Western Christian culture, and then you get the gospel. They're different. The more I read it, the more I try to live it, I realize it's different. Guys, our culture should be based on the Word of God, not what it does. Not what the church down the road does. Not what the Christian family on the other side of the mall does. What the Word calls us to do. So let's have the Word speak to our hearts this morning. We're just going to look at a couple of scriptures. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. It's one thing saying, I'm saved, I believe in the Lord. But if you don't walk in love, you're not truly saved. Luckily, all of you are truly saved, and I know you love, so please hear my heart. There's no malice in that. But we can't say, Jesus, Jesus, and not follow Him and follow after His commands and follow what He says in the New Covenant and follow after His Spirit. You can keep at the previous one. I'm still on a roll, but thanks a lot. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows if you truly want to know God and get to know God, you need to be able to love as well. And you're going to get to know Him in loving. What's so beautiful, Wolfie just shared. God gives us goals. Goals are good. I like goals and visions. They're really good. But God is interested in the process. He's many times interested in the process. And the tough thing of Christianity is many times the process is having to love people. And sometimes having to love people that you don't like or you find difficult to like. Who's ever had that in church? Come on. We're the honest bunch. Not Ralph. Ralph, have you ever... Ooh. Okay, praise God. He's human after all. It's not always easy to love the people that's around you. Who struggled to love their own real family, their blood family? Who struggled with that? Great. Who's seen the fruit? Once you submit to love, make the choice to love. Take a decision to love them. Who's seen the fruit of that in their lives as well? Amen. Love never fails. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. We're just looking at random scriptures because what is the Word doing? It is coming as a sword saying, hey, maybe Is there a place in your heart that Jesus, that the Spirit wants to apply this word this morning? That's what it's doing with me. That's what I'm offering you today. Let the word again speak to you. Because we've been called to be lovers of each other and of people. And not only where it's comfortable. Sometimes and very often where it's not that comfortable. Jesus answered, "The most important, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm just going to repeat it. Just let it soak. Let it hit your inner parts. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who likes themselves? Who loves yourself? Okay, well, all three of us. We need counseling, apparently. Okay, six of us. I feel better. But I'm doing quite fine with myself. There's a problem in loving yourself too much, but there's nothing wrong with loving yourself in a godly manner. The way in which you will fight for yourself, fight for your safety, fight for your security, have that primary instinct come and fight for that which is really dear to you. Do you have that for your neighbor? Okay, we are the honest bunch this morning. And so the Lord says, hey man, it's good to love God. What did I say the previous time? Perfect love casts out all fear. What is perfect love again? It is when love gets perfected. What was that again? It's caught up here in these two commands. You should love God and be loved by God. But that's not perfect love. Once love flows as well, it gets perfected. So I can be very spiritual, hang around, do soaking, go through fire tunnels, have amazing times with God, just receive, and just become this massive dam of love. I'm just so loved on. But it goes nowhere. I don't want to serve anybody. I don't want to love on anybody. I don't want to wash feet. I don't want to feed. I don't want to pray. It's just, God is just good. He just so loves me. That's half of love. That's not the fullness of love. It's one that, once that dam opens up and becomes a river, that love is perfected. So you remember, perfect love casts out fear. Not just any love, perfect love. In other words, receiving and giving. The flow of love. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You can go on to the next one, please. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. The world desperately wants to know, where's God? Guess what? Do you know who the people is that need to show them God? It's us. We are, as the church, as the children of the Lord, we are the sum total of the picture. Let me not say the sum total, but be mostly, predominantly, the ones that should show the world the love of God. By this the world will know that you're my disciples. That you? That you wall yourself up and forget about each other, no. That you wall yourself up and look after yourself, no. That you wall yourself up and are rich towards yourself, not towards others, no. That you love one another. We're going to look at what this love is. Remember, the Word is speaking this morning, and is speaking to our hearts. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. Again, that soaking, having this awesome. And I like soaking. I like the Lord's presence. You guys know that. I like connecting with the Lord. I really like encounters. I've seen how if somebody physically has an encounter with the Lord, it changes their lives. I'm for this. Hear my heart. But I'm saying you can have encounter upon encounter upon encounter. Book upon book upon book. CD upon CD upon CD. Conference upon conference upon conference. But God has also called you to love your neighbor. He's also called you to say, hey, Eleanor, how are you doing? I'm actually meaning it. Phoning and saying, how's that situation now? Because all the world's books and all the world's godly CDs and all the world's conferences cannot perfect love unless we hear it and say, this is going to cost me. Love is going to cost me as it costs Christ. God loved the world by giving His only Son. Love's going to call you to give.
Not running to the wall, but give and say, wall be down. And Jesus, because down, I want to love my neighbor. Because down, I want to love my brother. Because down, stirring your heart for the nations. Because down, I want to love somebody from another language or another race. Because down, I want to love somebody that hurt me previously. Some people out there, unfortunately, even walled themselves up by not being able to love the church of God anymore. Can I love the church the moment it's perfect? Can I love the church the moment it's seemingly successful? No. What did the Lord say in the Word? He said, husband, love your wives as Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves his church. Not this church. He loves this one as well. But he loves his church. And so we've been called to love his church as well. Let's go to Luke 6:31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. To whose heart is that speaking? And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Lord, help us. Does this come naturally for the flesh? No, let me rather not park there. Wim, Tani, you go there. Oh, let me not park there. Divinus, I park here, dog. No, the flesh is just like, was eerste. Hi, broer, bless you. Ek was eerste hier. I was here first. I'll park here. Thank you very much. Okay? Can it be done? Edna's got a testimony afterwards. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. I remember it now. A friend of ours, missionary, down here in the Cape with his wife, American. They go to Green Market Square, and he likes bartering. He likes just bargains. He likes bargains, but he also is a cheerful giver. So they bless people. They make, they don't make pounds, they make dollars. So they're also free givers. And so they're buying something, and he just bends the... He just turns his arm and getting the price down and down and down and down and down and down. Later on, to a third of the original price, and he gets an extra one, and he turns around and he's like, wow, that was just awesome. But in the moment, I love you, dear. No wall. In Jesus' name, no wall. I remember that. And so, but as he takes the thing and thinks, wow, what a bargain, I've just scored. He says, bless you. And the guy says, yeah, Jesus bless you too. And he's like, oh, you're a believer. And he's like, oh, you're a believer. And he walks away with two items that he paid a third of the price of one. It's part of our culture, be honest. Who doesn't like a bargain? Come, let's not be judgmental now. Let's be loving. You don't even know Peter, and I can just feel like, the man. Joking. He's very nice. But then the Spirit convicts him. The Word speaks to you. God says, no, that's not blessing. You've not blessed him. So he took out cash and he walks back. And he said it was quite tough, but he just knew this was God's heart, and he just gave a whole lot of cash to the guy. It was as if the guy expected it, he said. It was kind of weird. But anyway, maybe he called them the name of Jesus. But it was just such an awesome moment of just loving your neighbor. Yes, a good deal is good, but let's make sure it's godly. Because that guy is maybe so desperate. He's a believer. He's crying, Jesus, help me. And his own brother comes and wants to pay a third for something. And he won't mind me saying this because he's quite open and authentic about these things. But it was so beautifully that the moment the Lord spoke to him, because the flesh wants a bargain, the moment the Lord spoke to him and said, that's not going to make you poor. Go and do something godly in this moment. He immediately reacted. No wall went up. It was a beautiful example. What's love again? And it ties in beautiful with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:4. What are we doing? We're letting Scripture evaluate our hearts. We're saying, Scripture, come. Word made flesh. Jesus Christ, come into us. And just make sure that we're a loving people. And I said, God is starting with me. Because I need to grow in this.
Many of you might be saying, amen. I haven't seen you in a while.
But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, let's not go down that track. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient.
Thank you for being patient with me, guys. And kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. You can so easily compare it with modern day culture and say, Lord, that's not the way. We want this way. It does not insist on its own way. Ooh, Lord, help us with that. It is not irritable or resentful. It is not resentful, even though you might have been hurt. Don't put up a wall. Even you burned your fingers in that area with that thing or that person, or even with that group or church or community, don't put up a wall. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. Guess what? Your share portfolio, your investment, it's going to end. Your great career, it's going to end. Your family, which is, I'm for family, hear my heart. Your friendships. Your hobby. If you're a great golfer, your golf. Your hobby, it's all going to end. Love never ends. Who wants a good investment? Who likes a good investment? Maybe you like a good investment. Dominique, you like a good investment. Invest in love. Ask the Lord to knock down the walls and invest in real love. Not too many amens on that, but we're going to work on it. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Colossians 3:14 says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We know 1 John 14, God says, or the word says, God is love. It's like putting him on. It's like putting Christ on as a garment, the word says elsewhere. Put on love. It's by decision. I want to walk in love. I want to humble myself. I don't want to wall up. I want to put on love. Because that's the glue. You want to know what success I believe in church community, community and family would be, marriage would be? What is the glue? The glue is love. Guys, there's no massive, amazing CD, four-part series, DVD, booklet, thingy, majiggy that you can buy on TV that's going to sort it out. Love is the glue. Love is what will bind. That struggling friendship, love is the answer. That community, that small group, that marriage, that family, love is the answer. Sacrificial love. Edna keeps on telling me sacrificial love. I don't know if it's prophetic or maybe she's seeing something in my life, but yes, sacrificial love. That's just a joke. She's obviously seeing something in my life, but yes. Sacrificial love. Love is sacrificial. How did God show his love to us? Christ died. Put that in your Hollywood pipe and smoke it. Maybe God needs to just renew our mind of what true love is. Maybe we should dig into the scriptures again. Love is not what is shown on TV. Love is not what is written in magazines. That's not love. Something different. Something different people thought up. It's not love. Love is love according to the scriptures and according to what God has saved us from. And so, in the process of just putting this together and just hearing what God's heart is, we had a sense that we want the church just to fellowship again together. Just come together again. That's why on the 5th of November, we're going to love on each other. This is not all about 5 November, but there's a practical place where you can come and bring your food and say, Lord, how can I love on one another? I might be good friends with AB, but I'm not going to go sit next to him. I want to connect with somebody that I haven't chatted to. I want to say, Lord, where's walls that you want to break down that I can love? And so there's a nice place. And so in the getting together and making sure that, Lord, we are your flock and we're following hard after you, how do you want to just gather everybody together again so that we go in the same direction? I like vision. Who likes vision? All the men here probably likes vision. And especially if you're in Shofar and you've been in Shofar for quite a while, vision is a big thing. It's just like, where are we going? I love vision. Man, praise God. It's just prophetically, you could just, the moment we landed in Table View, God was speaking to me about decades to come, and I was just like, yeah, the vision. You know what? It's good to have vision. It's like what Orfi said earlier. But God is sometimes interested in the process. The how we get there, not the get there. So I could have said, hey guys, let's all get together because this is where we're going. But I believe, no, this is a season, not getting together saying this is where we're going. This is a time where we can get together and say, how are we going there? Because vision is good. Values, however, determines how we get there. What is the value by which we get there? It's good to do the comrades. It's good to have a vision. You want to get there at the end. But if you trip other people and knock them out of the way and take a baseball bat and grab that kid's ice cream and grab that kid's cool drink on the way there, it's not really a godly way to finish the comrades. Exactly. And sometimes as Christians, we need to be careful that we do that. I want to go to heaven. I want to be a good Christian, but hell, I don't care how I get there. Yoch, Ollie work. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to heaven with or without you. And the Lord is saying, no, guys. Let's make sure the value of love is here. And the process of love, or love is in the process, how we get to where we're going. What is the areas that Christ wants us to love? Oops, they're all there yet. Thank you, Dominique. It's a plain media grappie. But there you've got it. I believe it's easy to love people that's close to you. Albert and Dominique, it's easy to love each other. They're getting to know us. Dominique, in fact, is in our home twice a week. So hopefully it's easier to love us. But to come to her and say, hey, how do you feel about the people of Egypt? Might be a weird question to ask. And so Jesus came and he showed us love. He loved his mother. He loved his family. But he also did not idolize them. And that's something that can easily happen. Love your family, but do not make them an idol. That's a tough one, especially for mothers. They're like, what is this? What heresy is this guy preaching? But go read the scriptures. What did Jesus say about family? It's like, it's quite difficult. So yes, love your family. Jesus did. He loved those he knew. It's easy to love those we know. But then he went further. He broke the boundaries. He broke the walls. He not only loved the Jews, he also started to open the door to love the Gentiles. He did not only love those in his hometown, but he went about loving on others as well. He walked up, and obviously he's God as well, so there's a matter of knowing. But seemingly strangers on the way, he loved on. He healed. He touched. He raised from the dead. He had ability to love across boundaries and through boundaries. The Samaritan woman, which apparently it was a total taboo to chat to even, spoke and prophesied, changed her life, and in changing her life, her whole town got saved. The one we're following doesn't love with walls. He doesn't love with boundaries. You might say, Ritiva, but I'm tired. I'm not expecting you to fabricate love. I'm just here to say, hey guys, if there's a wall, let's just ask God to deal with it. You can tell me, really, Ritiva, and hear my heart now on this, I couldn't care less about my name. I couldn't care less about my neighbor. This might seem very harsh to say, but some people, or we sometimes might be in that situation. But then to say, Lord, I acknowledge, here's my heart. You might not care about other races or nationalities in our country. There might be a war. It's not chastising or being hard on yourself or trying to break yourself down. It's just saying, Lord, I'm being honest. Please give me a heart for Blue Bill supporters. Just give me a heart. I know this is wrong. I know this wall is so wrong. But break it down, Lord. I must be careful. I actually start loving them. But Lord, please give me a heart for the All Blacks. The rugby team, by the way. And so it's just an acknowledging it, being humble and saying, Lord, I know Christ would have loved. Because Christ loved without boundaries. Christ loved without socioeconomic boundaries. He loved without racial boundaries. And he loved the nations. That's maybe a question this morning. Do you have a heart for the nations? Because I wish you do, because it's your inheritance. The word says that the nations will be our inheritance. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and practically love upon the nations? We've, in our country, in another country, whatever the case may be, we've said to the Lord, yes, we are willing. And so all of those areas, I trust that God will come and he says, yes, it's fine to love yourself and be cool with yourself, not too much, be careful. Love your family, yes, love them to bits. We need the sanctity of family. We need the institution of family to be strong. Upon that we can build church with the Lord. Upon that we can build community with the Lord. Upon that we can build this country with the Lord. God has the building blocks. But let's just love together. Let's not forget about loving the church community, loving your physical community, and loving the nations. To whose heart is this speaking this morning? Thank you, the three of you. I really appreciate that. So we're just saying, Holy Spirit, through your word, come and just untie what needs to be untied. And then we come to maybe a difficult part, and I'll be short on this. What is hindering me from loving you? And there's more than one thing. I just thought up a couple of things that I've seen in my life and in my time in ministry, especially or as a Christian. But Lord, what is the walls that I put up? Because we can honestly look at the word and say, it's amazing, we're going to have more love, have more love, have more love. But if we don't confront the walls, it's not going to change. And we want the walls to come down, right? I don't want to just invite those that I feel comfortable with. I want to be able to love those that Jesus would love. I want to go there where Jesus would go. Somebody said the other day, we've got about 64 teams went on mission this year, and many times people will go to mission in Shofar. We'll go to India, we will go to Indonesia. I think there was one to China recently, and Bhutan and Nepal, sometimes rough areas, and you're like, oh, you guys have faith to go there. But am I, or are we willing to go to Delft? Are we willing to go to Dinu? I've heard that not even the police wants to go to Dinu. Are we willing to go to any dodgy areas, to Atlantic Beach, Gulf Estate? Will we go there? I just wanted to bring some balance into that, if you get my heart. What is hindering us from loving through or over the walls? What is hindering you? The Holy Spirit will tell you. I might not even refer to it today, but the Holy Spirit might just bring up something. First one is fear. Fear. What is fear? Acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. If I need to step out of my comfort zone, if I need to give practically something, or I need to take some of my time and love on heart, the lie of the enemy is you're going to have less. You're going to be caught out. You're going to be short. You're going to die. You're not going to survive. You go out and bless Gerd, you're going to die. That's just a lie. If you give to the church, you're going to die of hunger. That's just the things that comes up. You're not going to make it. And so God will constantly just draw us out and say, no, trust me. No, stand on my word. No. That's fear. The enemy, and we're not going to stand too long on this, the enemy is the Antichrist. And accordingly, he's anti-God. Who's God? God is love. So the enemy will always be what? Anti-love. Not rocket science, very, very simply. But he will always be anti-love. So the fears he's going to use is so that it prohibits you from loving on someone else. The fear that he might try to infect a church with, or a community with, or a family with, it's just, I just don't want you to love. They're not going to respect you. They're not going to receive you. They're not going to love back on you. Many a fears will come. Many a lies will come. And it's just saying, no, Lord, I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to listen to you. I'm not listening to the one that comes with lies being anti-love. very, very easily. The Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, exposes the lies here today. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. Please, just quickly after me, love never fails. Just say, love never fails. Love never fails. Self-preservation is part of fear. Remember we said primarily we want to just look after myself. Am I going to be fine on 60? Am I going to be fine on 70? Am I going to be fine on 80? But Lord, what if I turn 120? Will I have enough? I've asked you to give. But Lord, what if I turn 123? What then, Lord? Let's not listen to the voice of anti-love. God, we can't invite them because we're just so pooped. We can't do it. We're just so tired. I can't give anything. Lord says, just open your door. I will give what you need to give. The love will flow if you come in line with my will. Yeah, but Lord, I don't have time for this community thingy. I can't do this stuff. And Lord, God wants to say, be careful for fear. Be careful for self-preservation. Be careful for those things. Next thing that I thought of, selfishness and comfort. This is a tough scripture, but it's speaking to my heart. But understand this, that in the last days there will come a difficult times of difficulty, and I believe we're in those times. For people will be lovers of self. Why don't we love? Why do we put up walls? Because I'm loving myself more than I'm loving you. And I repent today and all the places where I've loved myself more than I've loved you. I repent. There's been plenty. I'm sorry. I'm sorry where I as a pastor have loved myself more than I've loved you. It's quite tough not to do. But Lord, please grow me in maturity. Please grow me in love. Please knock down the walls of my life. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's quite an interesting one to remember. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lord, I want to grow in fellowship. I want to love other people. Love God more than you love pleasure. Love more than you love comfort. Amen, Tish, that's a good word. Amen. Having the appearance of godliness, having the sticker of Christianity. Remember, I'm speaking to myself. Having the sticker of Christianity, of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households, capture weak women, I believe probably men as well, burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning, sitting, learning, yes, amen, yes, amen, yes, and never be able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. God, we want to be hearers and doers of love. It's the scripture speaking. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Lord, I need help. Even in reading this, I just have a conviction in myself. It is not natural for me to put Kunrad above me. I don't think about Kunrad morning, noon and night, think putting him above me. Praise God for that. But it's just in loving on him. But I want to grow. If ever there's an ungodly, fleshly wall, a selfish wall, I say, Lord, knock it down. Why, guys? This is freedom. What we're talking about is freedom. The world will teach you, look after yourself, put up walls in Gauteng, put up walls in the Cape, put up walls. Look after yourself. God says, no, I've called you to freedom. Lose your life. Lose your walls, and you will gain your life. Give everything away and follow me, and you will find life. You're like, that does not compute. But this morning, the word is challenging our hearts. Last three walls that might keep us from loving. Walls of idolatry. Stuff that is more important than God in our life. It's more important than the Lord. It might be your hobby. It's more important than God. It's going to prohibit you. It's going to hinder you to love. It might be TV or reading weird books. Just a joke. Or watching rugby. Well, these days it's just stupid if you do that. But and it can be money. It can be your own family that you idolize, which does not enable you to love others. Church can be an idol, yes. Luckily not for you guys, spiritual bunch. No, no, not at all. But for other people, it might be. But yes, I've seen people say, love my church, love my church, love my church, morning, noon, and night for years on end, but I've never heard about a personal relationship with the Lord. So yes, you can idolize church. You can idolize church leadership. Yes, guys, that can happen. Be very careful. Be very careful. Luckily, we're real here. I'm sure you're fine. You're fine. Two last things that I've just thought of. Unresolved hurt. Hurt people hurt. Hurt people struggle to receive love and give love. And if you feel that this morning, I'm going to say, our door is open. Come and have a coffee. It might not be a quick fix. It might take 3 years. It might take 3 months, 3 weeks. But let's work through it, because what? We want the walls down. We want to lose our lives for our King and follow Him to life. Last thing I just thought of, but it connects with all of the above, is busyness. Guys, we so need to be careful of how busy we get. Like mammon can be something that we need to steward well and not bow down before, so also our time. What is our priorities? What is my priority? Because what your priority in life will tell what you worship. Much of my time goes into X, Y, and Z. That is what I'm worshiping. I'd love you to disagree with me. I know you're not worshiping your job. You have to do that, but you're walking in godliness and you're honoring the Lord in that. But I'm speaking there where you have a bit more of a choice in the season. If you spend endless time on certain things, that is your priority. Your priority will speak about what you love, and what you love will speak about what you serve. What you serve will speak about what you bow down to. Anyway, that's a nice light moment to end it. John 5:12. Ended with scripture. We can go to the next. John 5:12. Thank you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Ha! That's, Yaumyan had a moment there. I've also had a moment. Imagine Jesus saying, hey, maybe he's in Foda. Just love Retief as I've loved you. This, just love on people as I've loved you. That's quite hard. But we've got to help him. And we've got a lifetime to change. We've got a lifetime of yielding and surrendering. You say, Lord, please, as soon as there's a wall, knock it down. I want to love all South Africans. I want to love all nations. I want to love everybody in my church community. And in fact, I want to love the people in the other church even more. Because that's Christ-like. I want to bless them and I want to love on them. The other day, one of the pastors of a local church phoned me and I'm like, hey, who got it? Yes, yes. Now you're waiting for a guy. It's men talking on a phone. You're like, waiting. Okay, now you need to say why you phone. It's like, oh. I'm like, okay, yes, how are you? And I'm actually very pastoral. So I'm like, okay. It's like, I actually just phoned you to hear how you're doing. 2 days back, you told me that you feel sick. I just want to phone and hear, is you doing all right? That's love. I'm like, praise God. Just plainly loving on me, no boundaries, no walls. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Will you stand with me, please? As I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Who wants to be a friend of Jesus? Very easy. Let's lay down our lives for each other. Let's love on each other. Let's not build walls in our hearts where we can go and hide. Let's take a moment with the Holy Spirit. I know we've please love on me for taking 5 minutes extra today. Thank you. Because I believe the Lord is working in our midst. So let's take another 3 minutes. Colossians 3:14 says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Just with all eyes closed, just do quick things. It's between you and the Lord this morning. But there was a conviction this morning of a wall. It might have been one of the 4 or 5 things that I've shared. It might be something totally different. Just a wall that you've put up, prohibiting you from or hindering you from love and loving others. Or a wall towards a certain person, people, or people group. Wait for the Holy Spirit for conviction. All you do is repent and say, sorry. Say, Lord, please take it down. Lord, I just come in agreement with what is prayed in the hearts of your people, my brothers and sisters. I just come in agreement. Thank you, Lord, that you take down the walls. Lord, wherever I want to wall myself in to be comfortable, I repent and I just ask, God, just take that away. If you want to uproot my heart and my ways of doing and thinking, thank you that you uproot that, because I want the fullness of love to be made manifest in my life and in my family, but also in this church community. So thank you, Spirit of God, that in this season you take down walls. Please make it very practical, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're not left out in the cold, Lord. You are our protector. We come against a lie that once the wall goes down, that we're vulnerable. That's a lie. The walls of self-preservation can never truly keep us safe. We just thank you for that.
I just felt the scripture the whole morning, and it's actually in my heart season at school at the moment. This is what I'm standing on, because God sent me out, and it's really a challenge. But this was the promise he gave me. Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the number of people and livestock in it. The declaration of the Lord is, I will be a wall of fire around it, and I will be the glory within it. And in that we are safe. He is our wall. We don't have to put up walls.
So thank you, Lord. Anything that was built upon fear or selfishness or even greed, Lord, or just hurt, disappointment of the past, thank you that you take down those walls today in Jesus' name and in the season, and that you alone, love himself, will be our protector. We speak and we pray and we prophesy that over us, Lord. And lastly, that was the conviction part. Just practically, just ask the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to go practically, love? It's nice to hear a good word from the Lord, but it's another thing just to live it out. And the Holy Spirit will just now show you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll just show how we can go practically, love, where we might not have been before. In Jesus' name, we just say thank you, Lord, and thank you that you lead us and empower us. Thank you that you bless us and you keep us, and that you are the fiery wall of protection around our hearts, our families, this church community. And thank you, we pray that your love will bind us as families. Your love will bind us as couples. Your love will bind us as friends. Your love will bind us as church community. And your love will bind us as we have a calling in this area. Your love, your love. Your love in Jesus' name. All God's people say, Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Apologies for the extra time. But I thank you for that. Please have some cake. Please have some coffee. And please love on one another. If you want prayer afterwards, please come and chat to me. If there's a conviction or something that you want to share, please feel free to come and pray with someone. Otherwise, God bless and enjoy your week.